Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again? With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in, everybody, to the In This League live edition on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Chris Welsh, joined as always by Scott Bogman. We are in this league, and we're going to be here for 3 hours, Box. Three of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whose big idea was that one?
How long can we stretch Tampa Bay wanting to move to Montreal? That's what I want to know.
I did have a really good name for it, but should I save it for when we talk
about
it?
Is it Montreal Bay?
It's not. I was creative. I didn't see anyone have this one, and I did it within, because the Cespedes Barbecue guys, they were the ones, you know, kudos to them. By the way, ooh, did you know I got a little like from the Cespedes Barbecue guys?
Whoa, really?
Ooh, I kind of fanboyed out. I was like, ooh, I do declare Cespedes Barbecue guys liked my CJ Abrams home run tweet. Mm. And then they didn't like my incredibly good name for the Montreal and Tampa Bay half and half team.
Well, save it. Let's tease it.
I will save it. We got a lot going on here today. We're going to be talking about that. We've got baseball. We've got some football. But we are coming off the heels of the NBA draft. NBA, God, even just, we can't stop talking about it, how the finals end and NBA does not get out of your face. Now, they will probably a little bit later July after the summer league. They'll tone down for a while. But they just do not stop with news, then the NBA draft. A lot of crazy implications. So we are going to talk about that right off the top, but we're not going to just do it, Bogman and I. We are joined by our very dear friend, one of the best. He is Jonas Nader. You can find him on Twitter at Jonas Nader. He is a writer over at NBC Sports, more notably known for Roto World. Jonas, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man? I think you actually undersold the NBA there. I feel like it peaks during the offseason. Like,
you think so?
Yeah, the draft is basically the appetizer, and then the next 9 days leading up to free agency on July 1st, it's just a blockbuster. It's the best thing ever.
It is true. You know, and even like NBA Twitter has been at an all-time right now, and they're infiltrating everything. Take, you know, the world champion Toronto Raptors, it's over. What does NBA Twitter do? Well, they have a crossover. It's like DC versus Marvel. They get together, and all of a sudden, Kawhi Leonard's front and center at the Toronto Blue Jays game, filming Mike Trout. You know how many people lost their mind being like, is everyone seeing this? Kawhi Leonard is filming Mike Trout. Not only is he the greatest ever, he's never leaving Toronto because he's at a Blue Jays game. So it's infiltrating.
I just saw someone say that he signed a deal with a plane company that gave Drake a plane. So they're like, oh, he's staying. But then someone else said that he was buying moving boxes. So they're like, well, I don't know if he's moving.
They saw him at a UPS store. What are you talking about? They're like, yeah, just about a box in his hand.
I'm just telling you what I read is someone said he was buying moving boxes and they don't know if he's moving to a permanent home in Toronto or if he's moving out of Toronto. It's ridiculous.
That's like, officially the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, because you know what? Maybe I shouldn't say that. If you're Kawhi Leonard, you're hiring a company, but Boardman gets paid, so maybe he's out there just doing the hard work himself, Jonas. I don't know how that works. Well, this is eye emoji season, too. That's kind of the big NBA thing as well. It's eye emoji tweets.
If you don't believe me about free agency being the best part of the NBA season, just flashback to a few years ago when DeAndre Jordan said he was going to the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, yeah.
So his teammates, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, literally kidnap him, lock him inside a room, get him drunk, they play some cards and say, you're staying with the Clippers.
That was
Mark Cuban's driving around trying to get him on the phone.
Wasn't he locked in a room? Didn't he lock himself in a room and was like...
It locked him inside a house, played cards, got drunk, and said, DeAndre, you're staying with the Clippers.
Oh, they're going to kidnap Kawhi Leonard and lock him up.
They're
going to
take away his passport. They're going to just take away his passport and be like, you can't go over there. You're stuck here.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Can't leave.
Sorry there, Kawhi. Sorry. It always reminds me whenever I think of it, back when Sean Marion and Steve Nash were outside of, I don't know what venue it was, and there was just like, I mean, it literally, it's to this day reminds me of like a WWF skit, like in the back, you know, the back of the arena. It was like Nash and Marion are confronting Antonio McDice to try to get him. I don't remember if it was to stay. I think it might have been to stay so he didn't, I don't even remember where he was going, Denver or something, even though maybe that's where he was before. But it was just that, like, that was one of those original videos I remember where it was the turn where SportsCenter and coverage started to go not just from covering the players, you know, on the court, but it was like, you know, Nash and Marion are going to, here's video of them trying to get Antonio McDice to come. And now it's just a whole new world. I mean, it's kind of just literally moved to eye emojis, an occasional goat, maybe a little snake with a grass symbol. I mean, that's what NBA Twitter's all about.
The eyes, yeah, the eyes emoji has been going nonstop. Giannis has been doing the eyes emoji like every day just to get a reaction.
He's just messing with people, right?
Yeah, nothing's happening.
Yeah. So, okay, there's a couple things. We got a lot to cover, and you're a Laker fan, so there's a lot to kind of cover with that as well. NBA draft as a whole is in there. But one thing, let me throw this out real quick. I want to get your take big time on Anthony Davis, and I want to get your take on where the Lakers stand. But if you want to talk about the intertwining of things that we look at, I just saw today or Friday that everyone was losing their mind because Anthony Davis followed D'Angelo Russell. So now Everybody's up in arms. I, as a Suns fan, had high hopes, but John Gambadoro has said no less than 27 times that the Suns will not. They want to make sure that they have the worst offseason of any NBA team, and they won't go after D'Angelo Russell. So what do you think when you see that, when you see a player like Anthony Davis following a guy like D'Angelo Russell, does that immediately, you know, send off your NBA bat signal?
Oh, of course, man. You have to think, I mean, it's at least in the back of his mind, like there's literally three teams that are in play for D'Angelo Russell right now. You got the Suns, you got to think, will the Magic be in play? I think the Wolves are the clear front runners here. Carl Anthony Towns has been stalking him on Instagram, liking all of his comments. Like, Carl Anthony Towns, he's even a Twitch streamer. He wants D'Angelo Russell bad. Zach Lowe on his pod today, a big-time ESPN writer, said the Wolves are definitely making some noise that they want to go after D'Angelo Russell, which they'll have to unload some contracts to do that. But, yeah, other than that,
the Wolves are literally going to have the offseason I wanted the Suns to have. D'Angelo Russell and Jared Culver.
Oh, Jared Culver is so freaking good.
I hate it. I'm so depressed about that. They're going to have the offseason. All right, well, I thought that was interesting.
Well, you can take the Suns off that list. The Suns aren't a real contender for D'Angelo Russell. But, Jonas, you said, number one, I think Jonas's favorite part of the year, and this is kind of a little bit unbelievable to me, but I feel like you like free agency more than you actually like the games being played.
Am I incorrect? No, I would agree with that.
Man, absolutely. And the Welsh are best friends.
Yeah,
that's the Welsh's best favorite part
that is
of
true.
Any season. Like, I love the games. I love the action. He likes, like
speculation honest, is exciting. It's like, it's invigorating.
I feel like if you read the Game of Thrones books, you would like the political ones more than you'd like the ones where all the war and fighting are going on, because it's like, you know, back cutting and backstabbing and all that stuff.
That might be true.
Yeah, Baelish. You're definitely.
Yeah, I'm a Baelish guy for sure. All right, so let's get into it. I was curious what you thought about the following things, but let's start off with like the big free agency move. There's so much centered around with the Lakers. I'm curious at your take where Anthony Davis lies as a Los Angeles Laker, what the offseason move they are going to do to counter with them, because that might be as important. And then the third piece into it is some of this weird stuff that was coming out where the Lakers didn't know of an accounting error that they now can't offer a max deal and what that does. So tell me about Anthony Davis and what moves you think the Lakers need to make.
Okay, so this is what the Lakers are currently doing. They're trying to get rid of three of those fringe contract players headlined by Mo Wagner and Isaac Bonga just to create that third spot. Now, am I surprised that they had an accounting error that told them that they don't have the room for a third max slot? No, because they have Kurt Rambis in the front office. They have Magic Johnson, who was calling the shots for 2 years. Who's this guy? Have you seen Magic Johnson's Twitter? I cringe after every tweet. It's that bad.
It's worse than OJ's
Twitter.
Well, no.
Congrats to congrats to Kawhi Leonard for scoring 20 points and playing great defense.
It's that second hand embarrassment type of thing. Like as soon as he tweets, it's just like, oh God, like, this, like I want to block him just so I can never see anything.
It's just scary that this is the guy running the Lakers for 3 years. Just absolutely embarrassing. But anyway, the Anthony Davis trade is just so weird. Like I want to get excited about it. I don't think the comparisons, like people are saying, oh, this is the Lakers getting Dwight Howard and Steve Nash all over again. No, it's not. Dwight Howard was washed at the time. That's Steve Nash was 48 without a back. This is Anthony Davis at 26 years old, entering his prime, a top five talent when he's engaged, and when he's not in the locker room, I should say as well. But like the Lakers are all in. LeBron James has maybe 1 or 2 years left of his prime. Like he's going to be 35 in December. This move has LeBron James all over it. I guarantee LeBron's the one that pulled the trigger on this move because look, the Lakers could have signed Anthony Davis next year and kept every single one of these assets, but they went in, what was it? 5 first round picks, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram. Like they dropped the farm on New Orleans Pelicans, man. And this just has win now mode all over it. So if they do not win the championship this year, it is a massive failure in the Lakers' part.
Well, sure. Now, I mean, they're now the favorite, but what's the move then? We know that we won't do a Laker podcast as much as Dan Bespris would like to hear this if we did, but like, okay, you're excited about Anthony Davis. We see what the push is, acknowledging there might be some accounting errors, but what is the move now that comes in with the Lakers? Who is that star? Because the free agents are out there, a couple obviously injured. Got more guys opting out than maybe even some expected. You've got trade rumors, which we'll talk about with a guy like Chris Paul. You've got restricted free agents. Who's the player that becomes the third head in the three-headed monster that the Lakers are looking for?
Okay, if I'm in charge, I offer D'Angelo Russell a slight less than the max. Now, I don't believe that Russell would come back. Maybe Anthony Davis and LeBron could talk him into it. They do have Magic Johnson, the one who completely disrespected him, called him, said he wasn't a leader. He's gone. So, like, and the rest of the teammates are gone too. Like Nick Young's not there. The Lakers traded D'Angelo Russell because they thought he was a bad influence. And it was just complete train wreck. Is D'Angelo Russell open to come back to the Lakers? That's the question. If he is, sure. Send him the max. If not, I think Kemba Walker is playing A for them.
Kemba Walker. Okay.
Yep. Kemba Walker. That's gotta be the plan.
Kemba going to move? I mean, I know you live close to Charlotte. They're your local team. So, well, what's the feeling on Kemba? Because we heard that he said he would take less money to go back. But now I know the Lakers are probably, a bright star. And, you can say anything until the Lakers come calling.
Yeah.
But
like the Yankees in baseball box. That's a good point.
I mean, seriously. But do you think that he would leave to go to the Lakers or do you think he wants to stay in Charlotte?
I think Kemba wants to stay. I think he truly wanted to stay in Charlotte, but he sees no path of relevance. Do you see Tony Parker's interview of why he didn't want to stay in Charlotte?
Oh, no. He was like, no, I didn't see it.
He said, I couldn't go to the gym knowing that we had literally nothing to play for. Like, he's just looking around like, what's the point of finishing 10th every year? Like, what's the point? The Hornets have absolutely no idea what they're doing. They have no plan. They're going to be stuck in mediocrity for 10 years. If I'm Kemba, I say to hell with it. I leave. I go chase a ring. What's $40 million for a guy that's going to make $160 million over the next 4 years? I mean, honestly,
only thing I've argued and Bogman and I have talked about this is that if there was a team that didn't actually need a point guard, to me, it is the Los Angeles Lakers. Like I've thought the move is Jimmy Butler comes in there because Jimmy Butler becomes the big defensive piece that they need. He can work as a third piece. He's in a championship run. And then they go and they re-sign Rajon Rondo, who makes all the sense in the world as a distributor to these big three pieces and Kyle Kuzma. So I've actually been on the side because you have, you've got LeBron James essentially able to play point, and you really just have a lot of these guys that point guard actually makes the least sense for the Lakers and that they would go for a guy like Butler. Do you not buy that?
I would actually love Jimmy Butler. I hate the fact that you said Rondo, though. I do not want Rondo.
Well, I totally agree. Who would want Rondo? But I'm just saying he did it last year. That's the only reason that it jumps out as the obvious name to me, because he's just a guy that doesn't have an offensive run to battle with.
Can I tell you who I kind of really want?
Do it.
I wouldn't mind if he got like Patrick Beverley or something.
Oh. I mean, that's the better guy. The right, Bob? That's the better
throw
version.
Up. I would throw up if I saw Patrick Beverly in a Lakers uniform. I can't handle it, Jonas. No way.
I agree. Okay, so that the Lakers move for you is Kemba. I still go with Jimmy Butler. Boggs, have you weighed in on who you think the third piece is? I feel like you've said Kemba.
I've said Kemba a couple times. It was weird. It weirded me out that he said he would take less money to stay in Charlotte, because if I was staying in Charlotte, you'd have to give me all of your money and plus like 10% interest in ownership or something. Like, I just don't want to stay there.
Yeah, did you hear Michael Jordan as well, real quick? He said he didn't want to pay the luxury tax. Like, if they don't want to improve, like, what's Kemba coming back for?
Yeah, and like you mentioned, and we'll talk about it in the next segment here, but like you mentioned, all they want to do is draft boring role players. Yeah. So there just seems to be no path to winning there. So I think Kemba's the guy. I don't think D'Angelo Russell will go back. I think it would be a nice story. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to hold out for money somewhere else. And I don't know. I do find it hilarious that the Lakers had this. Like, are they going to be able to pawn off those guys, do you think, Jonas? Are they going to be able to make all that work to get that space?
So. Yeah.
They're not going to be difficult moves. I mean, who wants them?
They can flip Wagner for a second round pick, and they can just attach money to the other guys.
Yeah, you're right. Attaching money is probably the best way to go. But
We got to go to break here in just a second. So when we come back, let's kind of continue in this conversation. There's a few other free agency moves. Bogman probably has to get his Rockets question in. And let's talk about the NBA draft, because that just happened. There were some teams that ended up being embarrassing. That's very close to home for me. A couple teams, I think, came out like huge winners. And I think a lot of the chess pieces move themselves into what free agency is coming up. So we can speculate on some free agency. We can talk about the NBA draft. Bogman can lament about the Rockets. And Jonas will probably find a way to bring some more Laker talk in here. So don't go anywhere. More in this league's coming up right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you know you're going to miss any little bit of this, you can find the podcast anywhere that podcasts are. Spotify, iHeartRadio. If you want to take this along with you, you happen to be at your computer, we're on iHeartRadio Live, and we are on the Fantasy Sports Radio app when this show is airing. So podcast, live streaming, very, very easy stuff. Don't go anywhere. Roto World's Jonas Snyder is joining us, and we got more NBA talk coming up on the other side of this break right here on In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In This League.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In This League.
Oh, I remember that.
Get in the game at DraftKings Sportsbook, where listeners of this show can get a risk-free bet up to $500. I like that. I like any money, but $500 would be sweet. Life is more fun when you have skin in the game, so test your skills at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Go to sportsgrid.com/DK to claim your risk-free $500 bet. That's a $500 risk-free bet at DraftKings Sportsbook. When you go to sportsgrid.com/DK, claim your risk-free bet today. We are joined by our friend Jonas Snyder from Roto World, talking some basketball, talking some draft and some free agency stuff. And I know Bogdan is just chomping at the bit to talk about the Rockets.
I have a question. Excuse me.
Sir,
Sir. Jonas, we haven't talked in a while because if you guys didn't know that are listening to this, we do the ITL Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I do one show a week with the Welsh. I do one show a week with my friendos, Jonas Snyder and Dan Bespris. And you know I'm a Rockets fan, and we see all of this turmoil happening in the offseason. I'm sure you are just grinning and pointing and laughing at it. But I want to know your take on the supposed Chris Paul, James Harden feud, and your believability in all the stuff that's been reported.
Oh, I believe it 100%.
Oh, whatever.
There it is. Okay.
If not, why hasn't Harden come out already?
Sure.
Why is okay? So the only people refuting the report are Chris Paul, of course, because why wouldn't he? And Daryl Morey, the GM, who would lose what little leverage he does have if anyone in the world would want Chris Paul
sure
for $40 million 2 years from now. Like, I cannot imagine. Well, you know what? I actually could. I imagine one team that would take Chris Paul, and you wouldn't like the answer. Well,
oh no, the Phoenix Suns.
That's what I said.
No way. No, they wouldn't.
They just drafted a 23-year-old shooter 40 spots higher than he should have gone.
They like, wanted no part of Conley because of the contract. Here's why I say this.
Conley's not. Paul. Oh, come on.
Okay, no, but I understand
He's very good, but he's not Chris Paul.
Okay, do you guys both forget who owns the Phoenix Suns? Robert Sarver is the worst owner in all of sports. He's a madman. He doesn't know what he's doing. He makes the worst decisions on the planet. And then here's what I want to tell you, what he also does. What he also does is he shills out his plan so he can get info from the local teams by giving it to Gambo. And here's what Gambo tweeted out. You want to hear what Gambo tweeted out a couple days before the draft?
Yeah.
If the Suns come out of the next 2 weeks with, one, a point guard of the future to develop via the draft, two, a starting caliber point guard who is a stopgap for a year or two, a veteran starting power forward, and then four, a backup big who can knock down three-pointers, success or not. That is literally Sarver telling him, hey, why don't you put this poll out? Guess what they did? They got Ty Jerome, who apparently is going to be their future point guard to develop. They want a stopgap point guard, which they're going to go probably sign Rubio. They got a veteran starting power forward in Saric. Apparently, that was worth trading Jared Culver. And then they got a backup big who can hit threes. Hello, Cam Johnson, over all the other warranted and worthy draft picks. The Suns suck, and they shilled out all of this stupid information to Gambo. I hate to give him all the credit, but they're not doing anything exciting. I would love Chris Paul. He's a star. He'd help all of them. The Suns don't make good moves like that. They're having the worst offseason. Even when the Rockets go and trade Chris Paul in a trade they shouldn't do, which is going to happen, the Phoenix Suns will still have had twice as bad of an offseason as the
Rockets.
I don't
think it's going to happen because I don't know that anyone's willing to take his contract. So CBS had a list of trades that could have happened all pre-draft. They all involved some type of draft pick, if I'm remembering correctly. But I don't know that it was going to happen. But the one with the Suns was, to match contracts. It was TJ Warren and Tyler Johnson plus the sixth pick. And obviously, the draft is over, so that's not going to happen.
TJ Warren's free. If you just want TJ Warren, you can have him. Here you go. Here's a good player. We don't need anything back.
We were talking about the Rockets a second ago.
Oh, yeah.
We all had to unload about the Suns there. I just don't know how much I believe all this stuff. I know there's tension, of course, and I think it's mainly Chris Paul's fault because he wants to coach James Harden, and James Harden sitting there going, dude, you can't even beat your own man. What are you doing?
That's what I said too, Boggs. And Jonas, I'm curious. Like I said, is there a point where Chris Paul sits back and goes, I wonder what role I play in all of these teammates who don't like playing with me and everyone that wants me off their team? I wonder what that's about. And I mean, well, he doesn't see it.
This is a guy who wrote the CBA that allowed him to get that max balloon contract in his age 36 and 37 seasons. So no, I do not think he's not going to self-reflect. No. Chris Paul is just one of the biggest egos in the league.
Where the hell does it go, though?
I honestly don't know.
That's Bogman's point, then. I mean,
offered him to the Knicks because it was going to be like a TJ Warren thing. And the plan there was, you give the Knicks a first-round pick and Chris Paul or whatever, which I think the Rockets' next first-round pick that they still own is like in 2045. But when they would offer a pick and Chris Paul, take back nothing just to get his salary off the team and then go sign Jimmy Butler. That was the plan, and obviously that didn't work. So I think they probably worked diligently if the plan is just to get him off the team, and it did not happen. So I think that they're stuck together, and they're going to have to make it work. I mean, they were just doing State Farm commercials last offseason.
Yeah.
Like, did it really go downhill that quick and that bad? you know?
Yeah. Did you see that commercial? It's the most terrifying commercial on television of the guy with the, he's a robot and then his eyes start bleeding water and they all stare at him. I saw that commercial and I was like, oh my God, what is happening?
I think I was actually, we were recording a show or something. We were on a break.
I probably stopped the show. And I was like, what's like, happening?
This is horrifying. What is happening right now? But I saw on Reddit, someone said, well, you know, Chris is mad at James Harden for burning down his kitchen, like in that State Farm commercial or whatever. So,
why hasn't Harden denied it though?
Harden has never really stepped into that stuff though. Like he's never said,
like stand up for his teammates
he hasn't commented on stuff in social media whenever the media is saying stuff about him or whatever. You see all that stuff about he didn't refute the man boobs thing from Skip Bayless either. So well, because
there was a parody. Skip Bayless got parodied. It was a parody account that did that and Skip fell for it. It's like it's the old school Uncle Chaps thing. This guy tweets about man boobs. Skip is the dumbest person on the planet. He rolls with it on air. And everybody has a time of their life because he's a dummy.
Yeah, but James Harden didn't say, oh, look, this guy got her. He didn't say anything about man boobs?
He's supposed to tweet about, hey, guys, I don't have man boobs.
He's supposed to say something. Like, he's not the kind of guy that's going to talk about the rumors with him and Chris Paul. He's also not the kind of guy that's going to go burn, Skip Bayless for saying something stupid. He's just not a social media guy. The only thing we know he likes to use all the time is Tinder.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, here's the more realistic move for the Houston. We already know they offered Clint Capella in a package deal for Anthony Davis. It got turned down, of course, but Clint Capella is way more likely to be moved, and he'll have a market unlike Chris Paul.
Where is that move to with Capella?
More than likely Boston.
Oh, that makes sense. They're about to lose Al Horford.
Yep, and Aaron Baines.
Aaron Baines is in Phoenix.
He's a Sun now.
Yeah, ooh, watch out. A game-changing move. Well, go to Gambo's tweets. You'll see he's like, there was a lot of people that were out looking for the very gritty Aaron Baines. And I was like...
The thing I didn't understand about that so much is you just dumped salary in TJ Warren, and then you took salary back in Aaron Baines.
It's because they're dumb.
What are you doing?
Because they're stupid people. It's stupid people doing stupid things instead of bringing in stars.
This is even better. So Warren was making $35 million over the next 3 years. Dario Saric has to be paid in the next year. He's going to demand twice that.
Well, he's going to be gone. They did this trade for 1 year of Dario Saric.
Yeah. That's what they did. He's going to be gone. So this is essentially just handing over a pick.
Yeah.
So the trade was basically Jarrett Culver, TJ Warren, and the 32nd pick for Cam Johnson and Dario Saric.
Well, and whatever else they do. Rubio, can they get to the playoffs, Jonas?
Well, Rubio's headed to Indiana. That feels like a lock to me. Zach Lowe on his pod today said that Indiana were the clear favorites to get Rubio.
They have so much money. They still have a ton of money after the TJ Warren.
Then the Suns will probably get like Darren Collison or somebody.
Well, Darren Collison doesn't want to go there. He wants to join a contender. Like, the Suns are running out of options fast.
Yeah, I mean, then that's why it's baffling to me.
They'll settle for Corey Joseph, I guarantee you. They'll settle for Corey Joseph.
But that's not settling.
There are actually rumors, which I'm surprised it didn't come in the TJ Warren trade, that they were looking at Indiana's Holiday and as like a point guard replacement. The Phoenix Suns will do something stupid. Since we're kind of in this, let's talk the whole next segment. Let's focus completely on the draft because I want to get your take on all these guys. But with free agency looming, can give us, if you can, at least with whatever you've been working on, give us a little breakdown of what this free agency market is going to look like and maybe any anticipated moves you think are coming down as July 1st came down is coming, because we just got Al Horford might have a $114 million deal on the table. That's not the Mavericks. There's lots of rumors going out. So would you be able to set the table for what free agency is going to look like and maybe some surprising moves we might see?
Sure. It's pretty simple. No one knows what the hell is going to happen, because today, even Zach Lowe today said that Kyrie Irving to Brooklyn is no longer a lock. They were saying Brooklyn is questioning whether or not a Kyrie Irving as the best player led team would take them that much farther in the East than a D'Angelo Russell, unless I think D'Angelo Russell would make like $4 or $6 million less per year than Kyrie based on his age. So they were debating how far would a Kyrie Irving led team go with that supporting cast. Like, and they were like, they could honestly see Brooklyn backing out of this.
But, well, I mean, okay, but is that solely behind Kyrie not being able to bring any free agent in town?
Right, exactly. Because
what if they get Durant?
Their plan was to go for Kyrie and Durant. But what if Durant doesn't want to go there?
Is that enough for them to back out?
Is Durant even the same player at age 32 coming off an Achilles tear?
That's surprising. But to be honest, I thought it was going to be more of a, Kyrie didn't want to go, then now the Nets don't want anyone. If he doesn't go back, do you think D'Angelo stays in Brooklyn then?
Well, they have a choice. Match anything.
Yep. They can, as long as they don't renounce his rights leading up to free agency, they can match any offer for D'Angelo.
Yeah, they're in a great spot. So this almost would turn, if Kyrie weren't to go to the Nets, would that be a change of heart where he wants to now become a Knick? Or we've talked about all this third free agent to be with the Los Angeles Lakers. Kyrie did his whole little dog and pony show about how, LeBron had it. I understand it all now. Would he go play with those guys for a championship?
If Kyrie doesn't go to Brooklyn, he's going to go to L.A. I feel like I'm not going to say Lakers either. I think it's L.A.
I was about to say, are you saying Lakers or are you just saying, okay.
I feel like he could go to the Clippers too and then maybe pick another. I wouldn't say max tier free agent because it's Kevin Durant right now. Maybe he brings Durant with him to L.A. Clippers. You never know. He'll probably want to see where Kawhi Leonard ends up too. Like if Kawhi Leonard ends up choosing the Clippers, like that's a hell of a pitch to Kyrie without saying anything.
He's obviously choosing the Clippers. He just bought moving boxes.
He's just got a whole bunch of boxes from the UPS store. Of course he is. Totally. It'll be his neck. I mean, if there was going to be any athlete that was the spokesman for UPS store moving boxes, it would absolutely be Kyrie. Kawhi Leonard. It would 100%. All right. So what about, talk Kawhi, talk Jimmy Butler, the other big free agents, Vuk. I mean, where do you think, any other free agents I'm forgetting that you think are really important, but throw us out some free agent names and maybe some possibilities of destinations.
They mentioned Boston as a potential destination for Vucevic and the Lakers.
Ooh, wow.
So they said Lakers and Boston are in play for Vucevic. I think Vucevic is probably the Lakers' plan D right now.
Right, right.
I think he does make sense for Boston because they said even if Kyrie Irving leaves, like they have zero interest in a rebuild. They said they just want to keep adding to that young core of Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So if they get Vucevic, I don't really know who they bring in point guard. God, I hope it's not Terry Rozier starting point guard next year. That'd be
why wouldn't
really
the, why wouldn't watch. The Celtics, by the way, go put like a max offer on D'Angelo Russell?
That's a great
can they
question.
Afford that?
I don't think they can.
Well, with Horford gone, can't they?
Actually, you know what? Yeah, if Horford's leaving for sure, that was $30 million off the books there.
Yeah, he opted out. That's $30 million off the books. Irving is gone. Why wouldn't they blow our mind and come and bring and they can sign full max contract to D'Angelo Russell?
That makes a lot of sense. Hey, if Brad Stevens can hide Isaiah Thomas on defense, he sure as hell can hide D'Angelo Russell.
I mean, and D'Angelo Russell, I think, would be a great compliment to that young core. I don't know if the Celtics could do it, but could you imagine if the Celtics were able to pull off Vuk and D'Angelo Russell?
I mean, 32.2. Right,
you got Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge pulled a Trump. He's like, everybody wants to play for us. Everybody, we're the top destination. Everybody loves the Celtics. Everyone's going to come play for us. It's amazing. It's going to be a great offseason. It's the best.
I love the Boston fit.
I feel like I would rather, if I'm Boston, I would rather have Vooch because they have some backcourt guys. They do need a point guard, but I think I'd rather go with Vooch and a decent point guard than I would go with D'Angelo Russell because they got nothing up front. I mean, Tatum, Hayward, and they're just going to have to go really small right now. I mean, Robert Williams is a starting center.
But they may be able to pull that off, what we're saying here. Vuk and D'Angelo, I don't know 100%, but they got rid of Bane's contract, $30 million off the books with Horford. Kyrie's
gone.
Well,
I'm looking at practical cap space.
Cap space didn't work last time.
That says $32 million. So that is one.
Are you
max.
Sure Horford's off of that?
Horford's off of that.
That doesn't make any sense. So how does $31 million of Horford coming off
because
the books
plus
Kyrie
Gordon
Irving?
Hayward 32. Yeah.
Hayward's making
Hayward
right
got
now.
A max, remember? Traded for him. So they've got Hayward and Marcus Smart's making 12.
They gotta get
Tatum's still on his rookie deal. He's making 7. Jaylen's making 6.
What if you could get Smart off the team and they can do it? Maybe it works. Oh, we got to go to break here in 1 minute, but there's one big guy we haven't talked about. I mean, I'd always be curious at Clay and Durant, but what about DeMarcus Cousins? DeMarcus Cousins is such a wild card here. What do you think the destination looks like? I felt like the New York Knicks, but I feel like someone else has got to come with him. But what do you think?
I think the Knicks make sense as a one-on-one contract. Kind of like the contract Jabari Parker got last year. Like, a huge balloon in the first year, like let's say like 15 to 20 million with the team option for the same amount the next year, just to see who they bring in free agency. You know what I mean? Just to see how Cousins does, see how he likes it. That probably makes the most sense to me. A 1+1 team option for Cousins. And I think the Knicks, Lakers, that's probably way down on their plan. I would say like, I don't know, plan 10 for them. doesn't seem like a good fit. Well, actually, you know what? I'm thinking he actually looked pretty well next to Anthony Davis in the Pelicans, didn't he?
But what if you also have, what if Kyrie got to, what if DeMarcus and Kyrie went to Brooklyn?
Oof.
No?
They got Jared Allen. They're not going to do that.
Can you imagine how many fights will that team have?
Oh, I know.
That's true. All right, well, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to finish up with basketball with Jonas Nader, and we are going to talk about the NBA draft. We're going to get Jonas's take on Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, nobody that the Phoenix Suns took, RJ Barrett, all that type of stuff. We're going to see how these guys are looking for this season, maybe what fantasy impact. I've already been getting questions. I already saw someone asking me, could Jared Culver be a late-round fantasy value guy for redraft this year? Well, let's dig into that. We're going to get Jonas Nader's take right here, our boy from Roto World. When we come back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, it's In This League, Bogman and Welsh. Don't go anywhere.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
All right, that 15 minutes of real, actual work is going down right here. We got a good 15-ish left with Jonas Nader as we are talking about the NBA draft. And we've been talking free agency. So In This League, that's the show. Patreon.com/ITL Army. That's where you can get in on all the extras that we got going on. Secret shows. We've got Dark Phoenix review up there. Our comedy shows. All the stuff is happening in July. It's going to be July 5th is going to pop off with so much stuff that we have between a John Wick 3 breakdown, a secret show, prospect ranks. It's going to be awesome. But we're not talking about that right now. We are talking with Jonas Nader from Roto World. You can find Jonas on Twitter at said name, Jonas Nader, right?
That's right.
Okay. I always forget because like we have like friends that they put their name and then they're just like 042. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, get rid of that. Why do you have a number in there? Or someone will be
Jaren Jackson Truther.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would be a factual Twitter handle.
I think you should change it to my new favorite team is the Grizzlies.
Yeah, how much do you love the Grizzlies right now with Morant and Jaren Jackson? Is it too much? Yeah,
we got to talk about that team a little bit. That is just the most fun team in the NBA, I would say, for me personally.
Okay. All right, well, I understand. Morant,
JJJ and Brandon Clark, man, huge sleeper, by the way.
Okay, we'll talk about them in a minute. Let's start with Zion Williamson. You know, the Pelicans, Bogman and I were, we talked about on NBA Takeaways, if people checked it out for NBA Sound System and on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, that there were two teams to me that just blew away the NBA draft. One of them was the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, I don't know. They took Calvin Ridley.
I'm not even looking at football. I have baseball on here. There's baseball on my TV. We're talking basketball, and I went to football. The Atlanta Hawks killed it, but the Pelicans killed it as well.
You said the Hawks killed it?
I think they did. I really do. You don't like what the Hawks did? There. You don't like DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish?
No. I like Cam Reddish a little bit, yeah. But I did not like.
You think they paid too much?
You think
way too much?
Yeah.
You think the pay was too much?
Oh, they definitely paid too much.
I like DeAndre Hunter, but it's the Cam Reddish edition. Okay, so we'll talk about that in a second. But the Pelicans are number two. That's the one to come out with Jackson Hayes and obviously Zion Williamson. It's awesome for the rebuild that this team needs. So talk to us about Zion Williamson and what your expectations, especially as a fantasy player, who is he going to be? Because last
year he said third round. I watched your Instagram yesterday, Jonas, on Roto World. Third round already.
Well, see, that's
it might be too late for people that want him, though.
But see, that's what's so fascinating, because like last year, I felt like we had this really interesting split of different fantasy values, from Jackson to Ayton to Doncic to Trae Young. There are all these different kind of guys. So I'm curious how Zion Williamson fits in all of that and where he sits. And obviously, if you're saying third to second round, you have very, very high expectations.
Okay. This one's pretty easy. The big concern about taking rookies that are near the top of the draft and early in fantasy drafts is their teams are usually awful. That's not the case for the Pelicans. No. He's joining a team that already looks like a potential eighth seed in the West. They got Lonzo. They got Drew Holiday, who is a top five point guard in the NBA, in my opinion. An improved Brandon Ingram if he's healthy. They have a ton of cap space still to work with, so they're not even done making moves. This is a loaded Pelicans roster. And at the press conference today, they were talking about optimizing Zion from the start. He gets the ball from the rebound. He's going to be the one pushing it.
Yeah.
We are talking an early round fantasy value from the start. Remember last year when I said that Jaren Jackson Jr. would be potentially a number one pick down the road? Yeah. Well, now it's going to be Zion and JJJ, one or two. Either way, like, he has the potential to be one of the best fantasy players in the next decade, easily.
I've got one for you. Next, for the 2019 fantasy basketball season, Zion Williamson or Pascal Siakam?
It's Zion. Easily.
Zion averaged 2.1 steals and 1.8 blocks.
Okay, how about this one? I mean, how about this? Zion Williamson or DeMarcus Cousins?
Oh, Zion, not even close. Just put it this way. His player efficiency rating was the highest recorded ever. 40.8. Anthony Davis's was 35.13. Like, to put that into context, a player efficiency rating is basically stats all put into one big number. Like, Zion's numbers are off the chart. We didn't even see him handle the ball that much at Duke, but when he did play as like a point forward, he was in the 99th percentile. We haven't even seen Zion scratch the surface, and he's already that good. He got an excellent score in all but one category for synergy. You know how unbelievable that is? And the one flaw in him is his jump shot, but he still shot like 33% from three.
Then
like,
who the hell are you taking over Zion? Who the hell?
Zion or Jaren Jackson?
Yeah.
I'm taking the back-to-back. I'm hoping I get a pick on the turn, because I don't want to pick between
them. You can't cop out. Pick one.
No, those are my brand guys, though. Don't make me choose between Zion and JJJ.
Got to pick one.
Come on. You got to pick one.
Do it.
I think Zion, just because JJJ's not
He's a first-round pick for you.
JJJ is still filling out. Zion's already one of the strongest guys in the league.
All right, well, hold on. Let me ask you this. Is Zion a punt free throw guy? Because 64%, so we can't forget about that. He is a player that comes with conditions. You know, I hate that stuff. So
you have to put an asterisk beside this. For punt free throw bills, there is zero doubt that Zion's a top 12 player from day one. If not, he's going to be around 30, because he's going to be a high turnover player in his first few years. He's going to be around, I would say 65% from the line on six or seven attempts from a game.
I mean, that's exactly what he did in college, 64 on 6.2. I mean, I'm okay. So that high. So John Morant was picked number two. I mean, what do you think? How high on John Morant is he the second guy to go in your fantasy drafts this year?
I would put him, yeah, he's the second guy to go for me. I would put him around 50. I think with Ja Morant, you're going to get upwards of 8 to 10 assists a game. We're talking an assist percentage of 51.8. If you compare that to Trae Young, who's already a top 5 passer in the NBA, his was 48.6 at Oklahoma. So this is the best playmaker in the class. He's going to get you 8 or 10 assists. And you know how Memphis has had that grit and grind style that's been kind of painful to watch, to be honest? That's completely changed under the new coach. They're going to be out and running. They got Brandon Clark, JJJ, J. Morant. This team's going to play at a high pace. So Morant is going to have some sexy, sexy fantasy numbers, but the efficiency is what's going to keep him from being the elite tier in his first 2 years.
You said 8 to 10 assists a game?
Easily. Yes, easily.
Well, I mean, is he like Trae Young to you?
Four guys averaged 8 or more assists last year?
I'm saying 8 to 10 assists a game.
Okay, but I mean, are you comparing him to like a Trae Young rookie season?
Yes, with less volatile shooting.
Okay. Well, who do you want? Like, hold on. This year, Trae Young or Ja Morant?
I'm taking John Morant.
Don't ask Jonas this. God. He openly hates Trae Young.
It's unbelievable.
No, I have to give Trae Young credit. He really proved me wrong the last half of the season. He was really, really good the last few months.
But you're still taking Morant. Is Dan Vesprous just punching a radio right now, hearing all this rookie talk of first round and Ja Morant? He's losing his mind. All right, what about RJ Barrett? How does RJ Barrett fit? Because this is the tier. I mean, Zion is his own tier. Morant and Barrett might get into this other tier. So talk to us about how RJ Barrett fits into this spectrum of rookies, and is he the clear-cut number three rookie you take?
I think he's going to be around three or four. I think you can make a case for Brandon Clark, who we'll talk about a little bit later. But the thing about RJ Barrett, the best scorer in the class, but he has some holes in his game, 0.9 steals and 0.4 blocks. When he's playing defense, he just looks bored, doesn't try. But what fantasy owners will love is he has that Westbrook mentality. Like, he'll leave his man on the perimeter to go get rebounds. So you're going to see some like 28 and 4 lines, a better playmaker than he's given credit for, a way better athlete than he's been given credit for. I've seen some people say that he's not a great leaper or anything. He tested in the 99th percentile for some spark testing or whatever, but he's a really, really good athlete. People don't realize that. And he's only 18. Like, come on. Like, this guy's going to be really, really good. Knicks are getting a great player, but the stat set isn't there. It's kind of like a DeRozan stat set, you know, only 30% from three. Can he even hit an NBA three-pointer is the question. So some definite holes there, but he's going to have some counting stats for sure.
All right, let's just talk about the Hawks overall, because they took Hunter, they took Reddish, but you didn't like the trade they did with the Pelicans. I feel like it's more because of what the Pelicans got than what the Hawks ended up with, right? Right.
I don't hate Hunter. They just drafted him about, I would say, 10 spots too high. He's almost 22 already.
What an ancient man. Jeez. 22.
Well, he might as well
put him on the Suns.
Yeah, he's a one-dimensional player. Even though he's built like an absolute ox, he's not a crazy good athlete. The Hawks probably could have got him at 8 had they just stayed, but people like got wind of that they really wanted Hunter. And so, of course, David Griffin, he took advantage of that and made the trade. So
the Cavs wanted it, though, and that's why the Cavs, I don't want to skip ahead, but that's why they wound up taking Garland. Doesn't fit at all, right?
No, well, the Cavs really wanted Culver. They made that pretty. Yeah, Culver was their guy from the start, and they passed on him. So that was just so weird to me. They really wanted Culver, and all of a sudden they got cold feet and took Darius Garland. So I thought that was kind of weird. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of Hunter. 0.6 steals, 0.6 blocks, one-dimensional offensive player, already 22. I just think at pick 4, I think you got to swing for upside there. He's going to be in the league for 10 years. He's a safe role player. I just thought they should have swung for more upside
there.
But
they did it later with Reddish, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
And think about team construction, though, too. I mean, you have Reddish and Hunter to go along with Trae Young and John Collins.
Okay, so the real reason that the Atlanta Hawks really missed out on this trade is because they passed on Jarrett Culver, who I think is the second best prospect in this class.
So, yeah, let's talk about the Phoenix Suns passing him. Well, let's talk about Darius Garland for a minute. I heard Darius Garland comps of Damian Lillard, but he's on a team that makes no sense. And Bogman like this, I don't know who said this. I wish I could give them credit, but someone tweeted, they said, Darius Garland in Cleveland with Colin Sexton reminds me of the Warriors with Monta Ellis and Steph Curry, except if both players were Monta Ellis.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
is that where you think this is with Garland?
Yeah, this guy's a shoot first guy. 2.6 assists compared to 3 turnovers. Like, he'll try and make these flashy passes that are just not there yet. They're kind of wild. You can tell he does have it in his game, though. It's just not there yet. The end product's not there. He can't finish at the rim. He's not a great athlete. He's undersized. The Damian Lillard comparisons make no sense to me. Honestly,
wasn't that just Chauncey Billups comparing everybody to a Hall of Famer?
Did Chauncey Billups become Harold Reynolds?
Yes, that's exactly what I said. The Welsh. I said those words during my stream yesterday. It's exactly what I said.
Comparison though, Chauncey Billups compared this guy Rui Hachimura to Kawhi Leonard. It's the worst comparison I've ever heard. Like, that is the last person I would compare him to Kawhi. Rui's never played defense in his life, and he's compared him to the best defensive player in the NBA. It's just unbelievable.
So let's talk about Jarrett Culver. The Phoenix Suns are a laughing stock because they were sitting there with the opportunity. This is who I wanted them to take, but they traded it away for nothing. So Jarrett Culver traded over, and he is a Minnesota Timberwolf. Now, you feel free to use Garland, use Hunter. Where do you see Culver in his fantasy value for this season, and how does he compare when we're looking at even guys like Barrett?
I didn't love the landing spot, to be honest. Like, he's joining the team, the Wolves, that last year saw, how many games did we see where Carl Anthony Towns didn't take as many shots as Derrick Rose or Andrew Wiggins? That scares the hell out of me for Culver. I do love the long-term fit. I think you can make a case between him and Morant, or even Barrett, as a second best player in this class. The most improved player from his freshman to sophomore year. Had a 32.2 usage rate at Texas Tech. They ran everything through him. Averaged 18 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.3 triples. And his defense is the kicker here. This is why Culver was probably the safest pick in the top 10, apart from Zion, of course. He was first in the entire NCAA in defensive win shares, blocked 0.7 shots per 36 minutes, 1.8 steals. Like, he is an elite two-way player that could be Jimmy Butler at the next level.
Wow.
It's a great pick for them.
Who else in this class do you like for fantasy for year one?
Obviously, Clark is one. Maybe you need to expand on Clark.
Yeah, I'm going to have to skip. Yeah, in the first round, there's honestly not many.
Okay, it's just Clark.
So you don't like Cam Clark. Johnson?
You're going to skip right over Jackson Hayes, though? Come on.
Jackson Hayes is only going to play 15 minutes his rookie year.
We'll see about that.
I'll tell you why. Historically bad rebound rate for his size, like 17%. That was worse. It was really, really bad. I think it was like 7 rebounds per 40 minutes. He's only like 2'10". He is extremely thin. At the combine, he tested as like he was Marcin Gortat doing all his tests. He did not look as fluid as he did on the TV screen. His combines were always at or near the bottom of the list.
He's a bad test taker.
Yeah. Well, if you watch him on TV, he's like, okay, this guy is graceful. He's really fluid. But when you look at the combine, that kind of scared me a little bit. So, it's a decent upside pick. He can block shots. I think it was like 3.5 per 36 minutes. So great rim protection, but it's going to be a couple of years till he really contributes there. So
give us the guy or two that is fantasy relevant, regardless of where they were taken. I know Brandon Clark is going to fit in there. So talk about him. And if you got another guy or two, we got about 2 minutes.
Okay. We'll start with Brandon Clark. If you like stats, Clark's your guy, man. 4.5 shots and 1.7 steals per 36 minutes. Second best PER ever in college behind Zion. Historically efficient, 68.7% from the field. He does a little bit of everything. He can pass. I think it was 2 assists per game. He can do a little bit of everything. He can play the 3, 4, and 5. I saw a tweet by Cole Swicker at his combine. I think he was the only big man athlete over 6'8 to test better than in the 90th percentile of the wings testing. So this is a freak athlete, can do a little bit of everything in the court, and he lands in the perfect spot next to Jaren Jackson Jr. in Memphis. Mm. He's a definite sleeper for me in the late rounds.
Mm. Is there another one? Bobo?
I mean, I'd be reaching if I listed another one, because I really don't see one. Okay. I got another one. Last one. Grant Williams for the Boston Celtics.
Okay, I like that one.
Yeah, highest basketball IQ in the class, a top 5 talent in terms of pure basketball. Only reason he slipped this far is because he's not athletic, but he's also the second strongest player in this class behind Zion in terms of just brute strength. Can do it all, stat stuffer. Like, I think it was like an 18-6-4 line with steals.
PJ Tucker.
A stat stuffing PJ Tucker. Sure. Yeah.
So not PJ Tucker, a completely different version of PJ. A good version of PJ Tucker.
Jonas, 3-and-D power forward. That's TJ. That's okay, PJ.
His stat set was kind of like, I would say, a less trigger shy Robert Covington with playmaking ability and not as much range.
So nothing like PJ Tucker. Got it. What do you got going on? We got a couple seconds here. What do you have coming up over on Roto World?
Just stay tuned to Roto World. There's going to be so much content for free agency. There's going to be columns for every major move. Like, honestly, who do you guys think sets the tone for free agency? Do you think it's Brooklyn with Kyrie? Is that the first domino to fall?
Oh, you mean the first domino to fall? Yeah. Oh boy. I think Kyrie does set the tone.
Yeah, probably Kyrie. Yeah,
I agree.
So you guys will have it all covered. Everyone can check out what you got going on over at Roto World. They can follow you on Twitter at Jonas Nader. We highly suggest it. Jonas, you are one of the best in the industry, and we appreciate you taking the hour to talk some basketball with us.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, don't go anywhere. More Bogman and the Welsh. We are coming back 2 more hours. We've got baseball. We've got football. We got a whole bunch to cover, so don't you go anywhere. Strap in this league, coming back at you on the other side of this break, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We back, fellas.